Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, a weekly magazine format public affairs program on exopolitics, the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. Exopolitics Radio can be heard on 1480 AM, KPHX, Progressive Talk Phoenix, and worldwide on the internet at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Our audio archives, which are free and open to the public, and a cosmic and world resource that we urge you to visit often, frequently, and deeply, are at www.exopoliticsradio.com. First, a little ceremony. Estas son las mañanitas que cantaba el rey David, que a las muchachas bonitas te las cantamos a ti. Despierta, mi bien despierta, mira que ya amaneció, ya los pájaros cantan, la luna ya se metió. That's right, that's Las Mañanitas, sung at every birthday party in Mexico and in the lower Rio Grande Valley and in my household where we grew up, because I'm a bicultural. And today is the birthday, the first birthday radio program of Exopolitics Radio. That's right, we launched on March 10th, 2007. That was as close as we could get, Saturday, March 10th, 2007, the 10th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights, a two-mile-wide spacecraft which flew silently over the state of Arizona and Phoenix, Arizona on March 13th, 1997. And, you know, jet airplanes, fighter planes from Luke Air Force Base scrambled, and the two-mile-wide spacecraft just phase shifted out and it was all over the major media and still is unaccounted for. And many things have happened with the launching of Exopolitics Radio, which we call the Cosmic Trigger. On that day, on Saturday, March 10th, which was documented, you can watch it on CBS News at www.video1newslive.com. We'll have it on live at www.exopolitics.com. There was a Cleveland UFO peace rally sighting of a UFO. A UFO hovered over a peace rally at the Key Bank Tower in Cleveland, Ohio, on Saturday, March 10th, 2007. That was captured by an Exopolitics Radio listener who actually contacted us after that. And following the launch of Cosmic Trigger Exopolitics Radio, in very fast sequence, the former governor of Arizona, Fife Symington, came out of the closet, went public, said, yes, I saw the Phoenix Lights. It was an extraterrestrial craft. I made a mistake. I should have done it back then. I, you know, enmeshed myself in the fear of the cover-up. And he's gone on to host a National Press Club press conference of UFO extraterrestrial witnesses this past November 2007. But in March of 2007, the government of France went public with secret UFO ET sightings. Then in May, the Ministry of Defense of Britain went public. And then we've had a steady drumbeat, including right up to the week of December 17th, when yours truly was in Japan. I was in Japan consulting on extraterrestrials, and lo and behold, on the week of December 17th, the exact time I was there, the government of Japan erupted publicly in the parliament, the cabinet, on a public debate, very positive on what extraterrestrial policy should be. If we look at this year, it seems to us that exopolitically speaking, the extraterrestrials are doing exactly what they've said. If we go to the key sighting, which is the Chicago O'Hare sighting by the Context Communication Theory of Extraterrestrial Communication on November 6, 2007, midterm election day 2007, a metallic probe craft came down upon gate C-17 at Chicago O'Hare Airport that was witnessed by, according to John Hilkovich, the quote, this was visible for approximately 2 minutes and was seen by close to a dozen United Airline employees, ranging from pilots to supervisors who heard chatter on the radio and raced out to view it. The context communication theory, that was the midterm election day, was the day that the neocons, the martial law party, lost control of the U.S. Senate, lost control of the U.S. House of Representatives. Right before that, Bush and Cheney and the permanent war economy had passed the Military Commissions Act, which made many U.S. citizens liable to be enemy combatants and put the U.S. under martial law under any false flag, 9/11. It's quite a different sequence. With that, the whole picture began to transform, and it was where? It was in Illinois. And with peace at the March 10th sighting and with the strong signal from the extraterrestrials at Chicago O'Hare Airport on midterm election day 2006, there was a strong signal that elections are key. And what has happened? Chicago, Illinois, the senator from Chicago, Illinois, Barack Obama, has electrified the Illuminati candidate, Hillary Clinton, who has been trying to stonewall, has been continually stonewalling on her extraterrestrial papers, her UFO papers. It's now the dynamic between Tweedledee and Tweedledum, between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. That dynamic, which has aroused the United States and the world to the point where in Africa, everybody's saying, Obama, 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 looking at this popular energy, this such a rush of popular energy that they have not been able to get the false flag operation through to cancel the 2008 elections, which if you go on the internet and look at my talk at the Vancouver 9/11 conference in June of 2007, it looked like that was the main agenda of the Bush-Cheney regime. And remember that I've been tracking these guys since Yale. When Cheney was a class ahead of me, he flunked out of Yale, sociopath. Bush was right behind me at Yale, another sociopath. Both losers. They're both traitors, and it's just because of the utter despicability, you know, but, you know, we have to say truth amnesty, that these two guys are not like Elliot Spitzer. Even worse, they should be in jail because both of these people work for the City of London. So the extraterrestrial presence, as reported exclusively here on Exopolitics Radio, starting with the Chicago O'Hare sighting, has shown that since midterm elections day, November 7, 2006, there's a fundamental shift. Martial law has been stopped. The plot to plunge through a martial law matrix, the U.S. through the Military Commissions Act, through the various executive orders to place, to collapse the entire constitutional order of the executive, judicial, and legislative branches of government under George W. Bush have collapsed. And now, through the senator from Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, has electrified the world. And there's some indication, by the way, through the looking glass technology, I am told, that Barack Obama was, according to one whistleblower, as early as 1971, identified by secret CIA time travel technology as a future president of the United States. Things are far more advanced in the black budget than you would know. So happy birthday, Exopolitics Radio. Happy birthday to Miriam Delicato. Her birthday is March 10th. Our guest, she's speaking on her experiences with extraterrestrials and the Blue Star Luca Cina prophecy. And her interview is just coming up. You may want to go to exopolitics.com and see that on April 6th, we are also speaking on Exopolitics, Comet 17P Holmes, The Hopi Prophecy, Crop Circles, and A Positive Human Future. Muchas gracias. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and today we have a very special guest, a woman and author from a small town in British Columbia, Canada, where Exopolitics Radio is located, whose birthday is the very same as the birthday of Exopolitics Radio. You remember that Exopolitics Radio, The Cosmic Trigger, launched on March 10th. 2007, approximately the 10th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights, the two-mile-wide spacecraft that glided over Phoenix, Arizona. Well, our distinguished guest, Miriam Delicato, was also born on March 10th, and perhaps by the laws of synchronicity, it is no accident that she is with us today to discuss the contents of her books, Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy, and most importantly, what her extraterrestrial hosts had to tell her about the Hopi Blue Star Prophecy, the Blue Kachina. Welcome, Miriam.
Thank you very much for having me, Alfred. Thank you for asking me to be a part of your show.
You know, I wondered first, just in terms of your story to this point and your interaction with extraterrestrials, this being Exopolitics Radio, Exopolitics being the new political science of outer space, or the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. What has been, briefly, the chronology of your interaction with extraterrestrials in your life?
Well, in 1988, I was taken on board a craft. This was a physical encounter on a highway in northern British Columbia. And as a result of that particular encounter, I was given a great deal of information by them at that time. And since then, I have had numerous contacts with them on many different levels, from the dream state to the astral. I've also encountered them physically in this world on, again, different dimensions, where a couple of times they came and saw me as though they were masking themselves to everyone around and no one saw them but myself and the people that were in the same presence as myself did see maybe a tall woman, but they didn't make any other connection. And then again, more recently, I've had a great deal of interactions with orbs at very specific moments in my life when I've been on the spiritual path, as well as direct contact with some of the Nordics in the physical here, just walking among us. So I've had quite a bit of interaction with them up to this point in my life, and again, on many different levels.
Right. Now, I just would like to start by reading here from some passages from your book, if I might. This is your book, Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy, and I'm reading here from page 196. And you say, I was told that one day I would find these people and they would be the ones to gather the chosen. Some of those that are gathered will stay here on earth in the safe lands, while others will be taken to live with the aliens. These people will be given safe harbor in the alien world until the new world, the fifth world, is safe for them to return to. And I know that you acknowledge elsewhere in the book that if you were to write a book that contained everything that was downloaded to you, or everything that you learned in the presence of your multiple visitations, it would be a very, very lengthy book. But that passage that I just read was remarkable because it implies a tremendous shift, which will be accompanied by two things. Number one, what seems to be an emergency evacuation of some portion of the planet, of humanity, accompanied by a shift of another portion of humanity to safe lands. And I wondered if you could share with us, from the depth of your interaction over these years, the context and the story that led your hosts, your extraterrestrial hosts, to say, and you to learn, kind of paint the whole picture for us.
Wow, that is a big picture to paint. However, I will do the best that I can with that. You know, these beings, the ones that I've had the physical contacts with, they have been very clear with me that they are here as the caretakers of this earth, and that they are spiritual beings as we are, and that they had a hand in creating mankind. But they are not God, and they have never wanted to be looked upon as such. So they are part of God's plan as well. And because they had a hand in creating us, they are also looking over us, watching us. Now, the intention of the physical body here for mankind is to have a vehicle in which the spirit of each of us, our soul maybe, comes into our body and then is able to experience this type of existence. So it is very critical that these bodies that we are in are able to help facilitate this process of spiritual selves and understanding and awareness. And that through these bodies, we are then able to grow exponentially in a spiritual way. So they have a vested interest somehow in the overseeing of this planet and of God's plan to help us facilitate that. So they are very vested in our bodies and in our physical selves here, and they are also the protectors. So they will not allow, for example, mankind that is not as spiritually aware to come here and destroy the planet. They have been very clear with that. They do not want any part of coming in and telling us what to do and what not to do, because, of course, we have something called free will here on the planet. And if they were to come and tell us, you know, park the ship on the lawn and say, okay, this is how to do things and this is what we're going to do, then we lose our free will. So they've been very clear that that is not what they're about to do. Now, when it comes to the safe lands and what part they play in that, and that again goes into a whole new level where, because they've taken all of this time as coming from the first, second, and third world, it's almost as though they were saying the first, second, and third world, and now being in the fourth world, each time they've brought new vessels of body for us to incarnate into. And so it's taken them a great deal of time and effort in order to get us to this point that we're currently at. Now, if the vehicles and that we are currently in are able to continually facilitate spiritual growth, then if and when the time comes that there's some sort of cataclysm on the planet, they want to be able to save that and bring it into the next world. So, they, you know, they've been very clear that there is a possibility that there will be a great cataclysm on the planet. However, it is not necessary to panic or to feel fear from any of that.
Well, why is it that it is not necessary to panic or to feel fear from a great cataclysm? That seems like it would be a contradiction in terms.
Well, because if you're following your spirit, which, you know, this is what the point of what it is that I'm doing. I mean, I'm telling people to follow their spirit. If you're able to do that and you get a clear message, for example, I've had many, many, many emails from people in California. So many, I can't even tell you. They've been telling me that they've had very clear visions over the course of the last 2 years. 2 years seems to be the marker. So for the last 2 years, all these people are getting, you know, clear messages within their dreams and feelings and just agitation to get out of away from California. Well, if that's the case, then they should very, you know, slowly and listen to their spirit and do what their spirit is telling them. If a cataclysm takes place and you are meant to be one of the survivors, then you're going to be. That's great. And if you're not, well, then you're just moving on to another dimension. You're not dying. So it's not necessary to have great fear over that. It just means that you'll be moving on to somewhere else temporarily. And then maybe you'll come back and incarnate back into this beautiful world. So there's no need for people to pack up their bags and sell their houses and get to, for example, the Four Corners area in the next month. Because if you're meant to be somewhere, it'll happen. If you're not, it won't. No matter how hard you try, you cannot change your destiny in this life.
You have been listening to our feature interview with our guest, Miriam Delicato. This is Alfred Weber. This is Exopolitics Radio. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please rejoin our feature interview with researcher and author Miriam Delicato. Thank you. I really can appreciate the path that we're going here. So I'm going to go to the back of your book and ask you the question that's there, okay? How did you become involved in the Hopi Blue Star Prophecy? What were the steps?
The extraterrestrials, star beings, whatever term you would like to use. When I was on board that craft in 1988, they had given me specific information regarding, for example, the Four Corners area. And what was told to me was that this particular area in the United States would be, quote, one of the safe lands in the end times. So that if there was a cataclysm of some kind, people would be able to gather there and they would be the protectors of the people in that area. Now, they also explained to me how, in a very grade one level type of format, how they were part of the creation of these different worlds, meaning first, second, third, and fourth world of people being on the planet, and then the destruction of that world, sort of the wiping clean of it, and then a new world beginning. So they explained this to me in, you know, not a lot of detail, but enough where I completely understood. Then they also said that there was a group of people, and they showed me these people on a screen when I was on board the craft, as if I was watching a television in the air almost. And I was shown a group of people, and I was told that one day I would find these people, and that these people were taken from the third world into the fourth world, and that when I found them, I would know that it was them. And the job of these particular people was to take care of the earth. They were the caretakers on the physical earth. And that they were the ones that would gather, they were the ones that would begin the gatherings of the people and bringing together of the spiritual people of the planet, that they were the teachers of this earth, and that they were the actual leaders. They were supposed to be, quote, the leaders of this earth, not the governments that we have today, per se, but the leaders of the people. And that they also informed me when I was on board that craft. They told me, they said, one day a star will appear in the sky for all of man to see. Nothing or no one will be able to hide its presence from the world, and it will be a sign to the people that the end is near and it is time to prepare. So, of course, throughout this entire path that I've been on, I had all this information bestowed upon me. Well, through a set of circumstances, which would take far too long for me to explain in this show tonight, they explained to me that, you know, I had to go to the Four Corners area. When I did that, I went through Hopi land, the Hopi lands. And at that time, I saw in this little cafe that I was in about five Hopi elders, men. And in that moment, in that split second, millisecond, I had a psychic flash. And when the psychic flash took place, the faces of these Hopi men changed. And in that moment, I knew that these were the people that these beings had very clearly told me about. So when I returned home after this event, I, of course, began to look up what I could about the Hopi. And when I did, I found a number of things that were quite astounding because, first of all, they had the creation story, which is identical to what I was told by these beings. They had the blue star prophecies, which is almost identical. The only difference is I was not told that the color was blue. So this is identical as well. Then they said in the Hopi prophecies and the knowledge that is out there, it also came up that they were taken from the third world into the fourth world. So there was all of these complete, absolute parallels. But one of the most astounding things is that when I went back the following year and I was speaking to one of the elders, and again, very in-depth and very, very amazing story, I had in my back pocket a number of words that were written down that these beings had spoken to me. And when that took place, I came back from a meditative state at that time and wrote down these words. This was probably within the first few months after my direct contact from the highway, and I still had telepathic communication with them. Now, this language that they spoke to me in was very significant because I thought, well, you know, there was something about this, and one day I would find this language. So for, you know, from 1988 all the way until 2004, I still had not found anything that sounded even remotely close to it. Well, when I went up onto one of the mesas, a little girl was speaking Hopi, and it was then that I realized that this language was, in fact, Hopi. Now, because of all of the direct correlations that had been told to me by these aliens, and from what I'd learned just online about the Hopi people, I suspected that it was the Hopi language. But I was still absolutely amazed when I heard these words being spoken. And when the Hopi elder looked at this piece of paper that I had in my back pocket, he said to me, where did you find this? How did you get this language? And I said to him, this is the language these aliens spoke to me in. So how the relationship between myself and the Hopi and the Blue Star Prophecy is really quite amazing, even to myself, because these are not events and things that I try to put into a box and you know, put the little pegs in where they fit. They just happen.
Okay, then. Now, let's then go to a very recent astronomical event that many of us have been following, and that was the entrance into the solar system of Comet 17P Holmes, which, as you know, around October-November of 2007, suddenly, over a very short period of time, enlarged itself to become the largest object in the solar system larger than the sun, at one point three times as large as the sun, and it was a very vivid color blue. You can see photographs on the internet. In fact, we covered it here on Exopolitics Radio. Have you had any input at all, whether extraterrestrial or otherwise, as to whether Comet 17P Holmes might be the Hopi blue star, the Blue Kachina?
I did another radio program where I was stating that it did have a direct correlation to this prophecy. Now, the reason I said that was because it sort of fit some of the requirements, that it was being seen all over the world, that it was a new star in the sky, that it could be seen even from the cities, it could be seen from every corner of the earth, and so forth. And I have not had a physical, direct knowledge given, passed over to me from these alien beings saying, yes, this is the blue star. I have not had that. I would say that because of some of the information that did come to me within dreams saying, you need to get this book out, you need to get this book out now because it needs to come out before the blue star. So what was interesting was I was getting all of these messages saying to me, and this is very spiritual, you know, this can't be explained by science, but it was very spiritual for me that I was getting all of these messages saying, you have to get this out, it needs to get out, because I was having these things come to me in dreams. And so I was feeling almost panicked a little bit to get it out before, and it was important, as they were saying, before the blue star comes. It's important that it's done just before that. So I knew that an event was going to take place. Now, my book was finished around the end of September, and I was waiting for the final print to be done. So I was still feeling a little bit of anxiousness over this all through October. And then in November, I finally received the books. And, of course, that was when Holmes came out. So I have not had any direct information and knowledge. But what I can tell you is that in a brief conversation I had with others, you know, there is a lot of people that are feeling that this could possibly be either the blue star or a precursor to the blue star.
Now, yeah, have any of your contacts within the Hopi community, Hopi elders or otherwise, given you any indication that Comet 17P Holmes might be the blue star or a precursor to the blue star?
I have to be very delicate when I speak on behalf of Hopi because I am not a, quote, true representative of them, so I cannot speak for them. What I can tell you is that I have had conversation with them regarding some of the regarding one of the stars, this comet Holmes, and the only thing that I asked was, are you aware of the star? And the comment that was given back to me was, yes, we know about the star. And that was all that was said. Now, I am actually leaving Laughlin here in a couple of days, and over the course of the next couple of weeks, I will be traveling back to Hopi and having a conversation with them regarding Holmes at that time.
Okay. I'm looking at right now, and, you know, again, we apologize, this is radio, so we have to visualize, but I'm looking at English crop circle pictures from 2005, specific English crop circles, and there were other crop circles, one in July 15, 2005 in England, one on July 3, 2005 in Italy, and one in August 19, 2005 in North Dakota. And the sequence of this crop circle is laid side to side with the photographs of Comet 17P Holmes starting on October 24, 2007 to October 25, 2007, October 26, October 27th and October 28th, corresponding to the days of its initial outburst, where it goes to kind of a normal comet to the largest object in the solar system. And for those Exopolitics Radio listeners, you can go to www.exopolitics.com and refer to these pictures. And you'll see the crop circles look identically to this photographic sequence. It's you're looking at this comet that all of a sudden outbursts, and then you're looking at the picture of the comet that outbursts. And this is a scholarly article with many eminent, you know, commentators that say, yes, these crop circles predicted comet 17P Home. So it seems to be a phenomenon that the crop circle makers are commenting on, who incidentally use Hopi symbols also. There were crop circles that were Hopi symbols in the 2005 crop circles. So, you know, the degree of coincidence and meaningful coincidence in terms of synchronicity begins to emerge.
Synchronicity is one of the more important aspects to this whole phenomenon and what it is that we're actually taking part in as a group at this time. And one of the things I know for myself, and I can only speak for myself, is that when it comes to synchronicity, I pay attention when these things happen. So I actually started writing the book in 2004. And I sort of, I believe it was 2000, end of 2004. And by the time 2005 rolled around, I was really quite focused on, okay, this is what it is that I'm going to do at this time, because I knew, I felt it. I felt an overwhelming necessity to get this book written and get this out to people. Now, I don't know what it is about myself. I just know that when I just listen to my spirit. I try very hard to do that on a conscious level and a subconscious level. And for whatever reason, sometimes when things happen around me, it's very meaningful to other people, or vice versa. You know, I mean, something's happening to them and it's meaningful to me, and we're just working together. So the idea that these crop circles came out in 2005, and I was very focused on leaving a large city in Vancouver at that time and focusing on really getting the work done for the book and that type of thing, to get those preparations in place, one might say, I knew that something was coming. And people would say to me, well, what is it? And I'd say, I don't know. Now, before November rolled around, if you were to ask my family members and other people around me, for months before Holmes blew up, I was telling people constantly, something huge is going to happen in November. Huge. And I said, I don't know what it is, but I have to tell you that it could potentially change the world. And I was saying this for months prior to that. So did I make a prediction? I don't know. I was just feeling this overwhelming sense that something was coming. And I said this to everyone around me. So again, I would have to say I look at the synchronicities between things. My book came out. I was getting the clear message that it needed to come out before the blue star. I kept thinking that something absolutely huge was going to happen in November, and it did. So we're talking about all of these synchronicities, and that's what it is that we need to pay attention to in this life. And that, again, Alfred, goes back to, you know, why should we not be panicked, even though this great cataclysm might be coming. It's because if we pay attention to these things, we're going to be where we're supposed to be, and we can't fight that.
Right. I would like to, just because we have a few minutes here and you're here, share with our listeners again the language of the Hopi prophecies, which were first brought to writing in a 1963 book, which went in and worked with a group of Hopi elders. And we're here quoting the ninth and last sign. You will hear of a dwelling place in the heavens above the earth that shall fall with a great crash. Well, let's see what that is. Perhaps one of the shuttles. But then it says, it will appear as a blue star. Very soon after that, the ceremonies of the Hopi people will cease. These are the signs that the great destruction is coming. The world shall rock to and fro. The white man will battle against other people in other lands with those who possess the first light of wisdom. There will be many columns of smoke and fire, such as White Feather. White Feather is a Hopi elder who transmitted the Hopi prophecy to the team that went in to write these down. Has seen the white man make in the deserts not far from here. Those are the nuclear tests in that area. Only those which come will cause disease and a great dying. Many of my people understand the prophecies. shall be safe. Those who stay and live in the places of my people shall be safe. Then there will be much to rebuild, and soon, very soon afterward, Pahana will return. He will bring with him the dawn of the fifth world. He shall plant the seeds of his wisdom in their hearts. Even now the seeds are being planted. These shall smooth the way to the emergence of the fifth world. We had Canadian filmmaker Robert Nickel, and he was on here several weeks ago, and we discussed Star Dreams, Crop Circles, and the Hopi Prophecies and the Blue Kachina, because this, quite frankly, this shift is, you know, let's just put it in political, social-political terms, it's the most important social-political issue on the table. So his conclusion, reading all of the material, the Crop Circles, the Prophecies, was that it seemed to him that there was an object, that the Red Dawn prophecy, and that follows the Blue Kachina. There's a, you know, and people said, oh, that's a brown dwarf. There are all these possible things that it is, but some destructive object comes into the solar system. And that, of course, could cause an upheaval with the tectonic plates, you know, that would cause the great shaking of the waters back and forth, would cause the virtual destruction of all the coastal civilization. And I think that, what is it, between 80 or 90% of humanity currently live on the coast. So if you're looking for a civilization culling event, that would certainly be. And we were commenting before the break that this is not the kind of thing that you can prepare a booklet and say, oh, look, this is happening. Why don't you move to east of the spine of Turtle Island? Turtle Island is North America. The spine is the Rocky Mountains. And be shielded from these waters. That this is really an inner understanding because it's about evolutionary stratification. And also inner dharma and inner paths that different categories of being choose to adopt in their path. And I wondered in these last 3 or 4 minutes that we have, if you could sort of share with us, because I know that you've lived with this now for a good deal of your life, some of these thoughts, and then, you know, we really want to benefit from your insights here.
I think the greatest and most important message that these beings have to share is that we need to stand within our own selves. We need to feel who it is that we are within ourselves. And that if we were to stand together as a united humanity that was respectful to the earth and respectful to all things around us, that we could potentially, you know, bypass this, what it is that's coming, because we could use our thoughts. We are our own projections. However, you know, at this point, I'm not sure if that would be possible. I never say the impossible, but it is important that people understand that no matter what it is that's coming, whether it is a pole shift or a solar flare or nuclear war or a dwarf or Planet X, that it is that what is most important is what lies within your heart. Because although this world is the most amazing place that, you know, I feel exists in the universe, from my understanding, no matter what happens here, we still go on. And if we are meant to be somewhere or do something for this earth and for ourselves, if we are strong enough in our own spirits, we will hear that call and we will move forward with that. And you need to live life each day with the understanding that this is a beautiful life. And we don't have all of the answers. We're never going to have all of the answers. But that's part of the beauty of being here, is that we don't have that. And that, you know, if you are feeling that call inside of yourself to move somewhere or be something, then do that. And satisfy your own soul and your own passion. And by doing so, you are going to satisfy yourself no matter what the outcome of this world. It's still going to go on. And your life is still going to go on. You're not going to end. And if and when there is an event where these beings do have to make their presence known, please understand that people like myself who have had direct contact will come forward and help with this transition. And not to be afraid, because we will come forward and do the best that we can to help people assimilate, to help them make the change, to help them understand more who it is that they are and what role they play on the planet.
Thank you very much. And we hope that you come back and visit us again as this fullness of the fullness of this scenario develops more and more. We've been with author Miriam Delicato with her book, Blue Star, Fulfilling Prophecy. You can go to Miriam's website at www.alienbluestar.com. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Quite a year that we've navigated, quite a year that lies ahead. Many years through 2012 and beyond. Where do we stand on the Hopi prophecies and the earth changes? Our current view is that there does not lie an extinction level event in the future, and there will not be great earth changes. And the reason is that we have actually shifted, the earth has shifted in timelines. And while there may have been prophecies of earth changes in some alternative future, it is not necessary for us to go through that at this time. And that's the substance of a talk that I have delivered a number of times in Canada and that we'll be continuing to deliver here in the future. So you'll be hearing a lot of these disparate realities as we continue to approach 2012. The Hopi prophecies. Will it be that there'll just be a narrow strip of land just east of the spine of Turtle Island, that is, the Rocky Mountains? Or will things remain pretty much as they are now as we muddle through? My vote is that we're going to muddle through to a bright, shining, positive future. And I think that the science supports this view. This is Exopolitics Radio. We're awfully proud to be 1 year old and hope you enjoy our new website and that you continue to visit us often and frequently. Exopolitics Radio is produced by Phoenix Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX Progressive Talk Phoenix, executive producer Richard Romero Sr., director RV Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled and eternally birthing, cataclysm-free day, week, and life. Muchas gracias, público inteligente.